Good morning, church. It's a privilege to be with you this morning on this lovely, snowy, icy 19th day of January. 19 days into the new year and 19 days into a new decade, which means that we are probably arriving at that point in time where our New Year's resolutions have started to crumble a little bit. I don't know if you're still going strong. I'm not trying to put that on you, but for most of us, if it was like a diet, maybe there's some more junk food in the kitchen, or if it was like an exercise regiment or training regiment, the gym trips have been a little less frequent this past week, and that's just sort of the way that it goes, because discipline, and specifically if it was exercise training, is really, really difficult. It's hard, and it takes hard work, and it takes commitment, and training, quite honestly, sometimes just isn't fun. About a year and a half ago, I was talking to my neighbor across the street. His name was Sean, and we were just talking, and we were connecting, and he was like, "Hey, by the way, I've been thinking about something. Would you want to run a marathon with me?" And I was like, wow, that caught me off guard, and that is a huge commitment. Let me think about that a little bit. I was like, why don't you send me like the training sort of regiment for it, and I'll get back to you. And so he sends it over to me, and man, it's crazy. For those of you who have run a marathon, hats off to you, because it's incredible. But he sent me this regiment, and I kind of looked it over, and for a week, I tried, and I made it a week. I think I made it up to like 6 miles, and I was like, look, Sean, I'm still 20 miles away. There's no way that I'm going to be able to do this, and unfortunately, I gave up. I wasn't disciplined enough to make it through, and for some people, the motivation is there. For me, it was not there. I look at these people as they cross the finish line, and they get their ribbon with their medal. They get the bumper sticker with the 26.2, and those things are great, but that just wasn't motivating me enough to run 26.2 miles. So I ended up giving up, because it's hard work, and that training is really, really difficult. And that's a little bit of what we're going to be talking about this morning, is this concept of training and growing in godliness. As a church, we've been going through our mission statement last week and this week and next week, and this week we're going to be focusing on grow. Our mission statement is worship, grow, and go, and we're going to be focusing on what it means to grow in godliness this morning. So we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you have your Bible, you can flip there now. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It is a time where Paul is encouraging Timothy, who was a disciple of his, to grow and train in godliness. Now, one of the ways that Timothy has grown in godliness was something that actually Kenneth Gabbert taught on a couple months ago, was this discipleship relationship that Timothy had with Paul. Paul was pouring into Timothy, he was discipling Timothy, but he's also encouraging him in these verses right here. So, if you would, join me in reading this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6. It says this: "If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, for to this end we toil and we strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially to those who believe." Paul's encouragement to Timothy is to train in godliness and to grow in godliness. And like I said, there was this discipleship relationship that was happening, and Paul was preparing Timothy to pastor this church in Ephesus, where he's writing him this letter. But that discipleship was a huge piece of him growing in godliness up until this point. And I think discipleship is a way that we all can grow and should be growing in godliness as well. And a friend of mine at our church, Michael Johnson, him and his wife Haley have been attending our church and members here for a while, and it's been exciting for me to watch him grow in godliness. And one of the ways that he did that was through a discipleship relationship. So Michael, I would invite you to come up and share a little bit about your testimony and ways that you have grown in godliness here as a part of Highland Park Baptist Church.
Good morning, church. Just to piggyback off that, I think it's imperative that we focus on growth, that we focus on our faith walk between us and the Lord, but we also have to grow amongst others, to be poured into and to pour into other believers. And so one of those opportunities that presented itself at our church was through the 2-7 series. I had the opportunity to walk with Frank Tanana, and we were able to go through that series, going through scripture for over the course of a year and a half to 2 years. And one of the biggest things that I got out of it was hiding God's word within our hearts, right? Memorizing scripture, having a dedication to prayer, and doing life with each other. And so it's needed. And I implore all of you to explore it in your own lives where God's calling you. I was able to take that experience and then parlay that into working with our CRASH ministry, so working with our high schoolers, some of which I've continued to have relationships with as they've gone off to college, and just helping them with that transition process. And then also with some other of the young middle schoolers, a part of our church. It's been a blessing to pour into them, and it forces me to learn the word even more, to be an example for them, to have it rooted within my heart. And so it's one of the biggest ways I've seen God work in my life, through growth. And it's a command. It's a mandate in scripture that we have to take his word and teach others. So,
awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a privilege to serve alongside of Michael, and also just see him grow over these past few years, especially through that discipleship relationship, which is what we see in Paul and Timothy's life. But we also see Paul continuing his discipleship by writing him this letter. And so he's encouraging him to grow in godliness. So in verse 6 is where Paul sort of starts this section, and he says this: "If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed." This sentence, this first verse, is broken up into three different parts, and really the middle part is the focus of this first verse, and that is, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. That's the point, is to be a good servant of Christ Jesus. And then he gives these two different pieces of how Paul can be a good servant of Christ Jesus. And the first one is this: if you put these things before the brothers, then Paul will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. What are these things? What is he talking about? Up until this point in the letter, Paul has been encouraging Timothy in all of these different ways, and he's been explaining all of these different things, and he's encouraging him to put them before the Ephesian church, to help his brothers in the church and sisters in the church to grow in their godliness by putting these things before him. So some of the things that Paul has covered so far up until this point is, one, warning against false teachers. Guard the church from false teachers. The second thing is that he gives a clear picture of what the gospel actually is. And then he goes on and he gives some different qualifications for church leadership and what church leaders should look like and should be doing. And then right before we jump into this section, he's warning that people will be departing from the church and walking away and into the lure of the world. And so Paul's encouraging Timothy, if you want to be a good servant of Christ Jesus, put these things that I'm putting before you, before the church. But he's also saying, at the end of this sentence, that is important in order to be a good servant of Christ Jesus, that he must be, and we must be, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Now, depending on what translation you have, it might say something a little bit different. Some translations interpret this word as being nourished instead of being trained, but both of them really carry the same understanding and idea. And both of those words carry this understanding of consistency and progressing. And what I mean by that is if we are nourished, it takes consistency to nourish us. And if we're training, it takes consistency, and it is progressive. My wife and I had a baby 4 months ago. Well, my wife had a baby 4 months ago, and I was there, and it's exciting, and I'm super grateful to be a father. But one of the things that I've noticed is that my daughter needs to constantly be nourished, right? She doesn't just get nourished one time when she's born, and she's good for the rest of her life. In order for her to grow, in order for her to develop, she needs to consistently be nourished. And she's 4 months old, and she's being nourished by more now than she was when she was first born. And so it is consistent, but it's also progressing. And the same thing is true with training, right? If you're training for a marathon, it needs to be consistent. You can't just get up and run one. It needs to be consistent training, and you need to start with 1 mile, and then 3 miles, 5 miles, and you work your way up until you can complete the marathon. And so it's consistent, and it is progressing. And that's exactly what Paul is encouraging Timothy and us in here. You will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained and being nourished in what? In the words of the faith. That's just another way of explaining the gospel, which he's given earlier in this letter. The gospel that we are nourished. We're trained in the gospel and of the good doctrine that you have followed, the deep biblical truths that we have followed. Those are the things that we're trained and nourished in if we want to be a good servant of Christ Jesus. And then Paul gets into these two commands that he gives to Timothy, these two imperatives. And that's really where I want to focus this morning. The first imperative, the first command that he gives to Timothy is this: have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Now, growing in godliness, this doesn't make a ton of sense at first glance, but have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths is very, very important to us developing and growing into godly men and women. We live in a culture where there are a lot of irreverent, silly myths. There are a lot of lies that are being preached to us in the same way that the Ephesian church lived in a worldly culture that was full of junk. And we live in a culture where they are trying to get us as the church, as believers, to believe the things that they believe. And they are irreverent and they are silly. For example, we live in a culture that is very, very pleasure-seeking and you just do whatever feels right. That's a message that people are taught all the time that we are being preached to by our culture. Just do whatever makes you happy. Just do whatever feels right. And that's not true. The message is, if you're in a difficult relationship and it's hard and it's messy, well, just walk away because that's easier. The message is, well, if you're faced with some temptation in front of you and it's something that's very enticing, well, just give in because that's what feels right in the moment. And those are not ways that we grow in godliness. We're told that we're supposed to have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths that our culture is preaching at us. So we have to reject the lies of culture and understand that godly growth requires truth. It requires truth, and Christ even says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Another irreverent, silly myth that has sort of worked its way into the fabric of the church is what I call attendance Christianity. We show up on Sunday mornings, and that's sort of the extent. We walk into this space with our Bible in hand, and we walk out, and that Bible stays in our car or on our bedside table and just accumulates dust until the next Sunday service. We don't really go before the Lord in prayer unless we need something or something starts to go wrong in our life, which is when we go to Him. This attendance Christianity is not what God has called us to. He saved us for a relationship with Him. He saved us to grow in godliness, to become more and more shaped into the image of His Son. It's not just about showing up. And so training and growing in godliness is going to be a difficult task. It's something that's hard that we are called to. It's not easy. But it's important for us to understand that godly growth requires truth. The second imperative that Paul gives here, the second command that he gives here, is this: rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Godly growth requires truth, but it also requires training. It requires training, and it is of value in every single way. There is so much value in training for godliness. Paul draws the connection to bodily training, right? I'm guessing at some point in all of our lives, or at least the majority of us, our lives, we've had some sort of experience with physical training. Whether that was training for a race or an event or being part of a team or gym class when you were in high school or something like that, there was something that you can relate to this idea of training, bodily, physically. And what I instantly think of is how much work it takes to train for something. Granted, I only made it through 1 week of training for a marathon, but if I were to carry that through, it would take a tremendous amount of hard work. It takes a tremendous amount of commitment, of devotion, dedication, discipline. It's not something that just comes easily. Otherwise, everyone would be very fit. But growing in godliness is the same way. It takes commitment. It takes hard work. It takes dedication, devotion, discipline. It has in its very nature the idea of growing, of progressing, of becoming more godly. And that's not an easy task. Growing in godliness does require training. So some ways I would encourage you to do that personally is don't allow your Christianity to be based on what happens just in this hour on Sundays. Go home and pursue Jesus. Dive into the Word of God. Spend time seeking the Lord in prayer. Spend time loving your neighbor. Spend time taking the gospel to those who don't know. Be a light in the darkness. There are so many things that this book has for us to do as followers of Jesus, ways that we can grow in godliness. And for some of us, we're like, well, I can't just start doing all of those things like tonight. If you're training for a marathon, you may have to start at 1 mile, while other people might be at 10 miles, while other people might be at 16 miles. But the point is to continue training consistently and progressingly. So my encouragement is go home and pursue Jesus. But then when we gather together as a body, there are ways that we here at Highland Park can grow together as well. If you have children, get them plugged into the children's ministry. Get them plugged into Awana. Get them plugged into Southfield Christian School where they can grow in godliness. If you're a middle schooler or a high schooler or you have a middle schooler or a high schooler, get plugged into the student ministries. Get plugged into Southfield Christian where you can grow in godliness. If you're a man, get plugged into the men's ministry where you can grow in godliness. If you're a woman, get plugged into the women's ministry where you can grow in godliness. If you're an adult or anyone, get plugged into Oasis where we can grow in godliness. You guys, there's so many opportunities in this church to grow in godliness together as a body. So let's get plugged in. If you've been through the membership process at all recently, you've probably heard this idea, but we would love for everyone to be involved in this body sort of on three different tiers. The first one is attending on Sunday mornings. If you can hear my voice right now, you're doing it. So you got that one, okay? So attending on Sunday mornings, but if you're there, we would encourage you to take a step to the next sort of tier, which is getting involved in a middle hour ministry. I don't know how many of you guys just came from a middle hour ministry, but it's an opportunity for you to build community, for you to be poured into by other people. And if you've ever done any sort of training, you would know that it's easier when there are people by your side encouraging you, uplifting you, holding you accountable than trying to do it on your own. So get involved in a middle hour ministry where you can find community. And then the third sort of tier is to get involved in serving. The Spirit has gifted you with a way to build up this body to help the rest of us grow in godliness. So we need you serving in order for us to grow in godliness. So my encouragement would be for you to get plugged in on all three of those levels if you're not already, because our body as a whole, we want to be growing in godliness as well. There's a couple in our church who have been plugged in so many different ways in our church, Doug and Andrea Hockenbrock. And I've invited them to come up and share a little bit this morning. They've been plugged in so many different ways for a long time to this body. They've grown in godliness, and they've also helped a lot of other people grow in godliness as well. So would you mind sharing a little bit about how you've grown here at Highland Park?
Well, good morning. I am so thankful for the blessing to sit under the teaching of God's Word and for the opportunities that I have had to attend Bible studies with brothers and sisters in Christ and to grow in my knowledge of God. 30 years ago, as a young mom, I walked into Fellowship Hall on a Tuesday morning to the women's Bible study led by Betty King. I saw women who loved Jesus and who loved diligently studying God's Word. Over the past 30 years, I've been involved in many different Bible studies, from large groups to couples gathered in a home to just a few sitting around a table. But we all share the same passion to learn God's truth and to grow in our faith and our love for Jesus. When we grow together, we pray for one another, we encourage one another, we spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And I am also thankful that as I am in the Word and continuing to grow, that God has blessed me with the opportunity to share His Word. Working in the children's ministry here and as a teacher at Southfield Christian School, it is a joy to speak of God's promises, of our faith and our love for Jesus, and to share the gospel. God is so good. When I am working on a lesson and He takes it and He applies it to my life, and then He continues to show me the riches of His Word as I share it with others. Or as I get together with a friend over a cup of coffee and we talk about Him. God is in all of the details, and I am so thankful for what He is doing in my life.
Thank you. And I really represent, as we talk about growth, just an example of being poured into really throughout my life. Became a Christian at a very young age, but Sunday school teachers like those in this church when I was very young, teachers and great mentored friends at Southfield Christian. And then as we were young marrieds here in church, just being able to participate in middle hour ministries and really fellowship with others our age as a couple. And similar to Andrea, I got involved in some Bible studies. And as Michael mentioned earlier, 2-7 ministries that really taught things like scripture memorization, really built fellowship, really helped us as young husbands and eventually young dads as well. And again, Southfield Christian really was a tremendous ministry in the lives of both of our kids, and Andrea had an opportunity to teach there. And so, I've been poured into as an individual and as a couple through so many of you and so many ministries in this church. And, recent years we've had opportunities to kind of turn around through various ways, whether it's Andrea teaching Bible studies or really ministering as a couple to engage couples and to young marrieds and getting involved in grow groups even at that age. And so just encourage you, there's so many opportunities in the church for you to get involved, whether an individual or a couple. It's certainly a blessing to yourselves, but really a blessing just to see others grow, and it really continues to help us grow even at later stages in life. So thank you for that.
Thank you. I am super thankful to be able to have individuals like Doug and Andrea serving our body. They really understand that it's a continued growth in godliness, and they're willing to continue to train and to grow in godliness because godliness is of value in every way. Godliness is of value in every way, and Paul continues on as he says, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life that is to come. It holds promise for now and for the future. What is that promise? The promise of salvation. That promise is the promise of salvation, and the promise of salvation holds significance now, yes, in this life, but it also holds significance in the future. And I think a lot of the time when we are training for something, we get so short-sighted that the long goal seems unattainable. But yet the promise of salvation that we have now is significant for the present and also for the future. We grow for the present and also for the future. The reason that I gave up on that marathon was because I was short-sighted. I lost track of what the long-term goal was, and it was just difficult in the moment. But that's not what training in godliness looks like. It's consistent and it's progressing. So we hold on to the promise of salvation in the present, but it's also for the future. Paul continues on and says, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end, we toil and we strive." And I want to stop there. We toil and we strive. These are two words that don't necessarily mean it's going to be easy. It's going to be work. Training is work. So he uses two words here that are both active and action words. There are two ways that we as people can grow. We can grow passively or we can grow actively. A couple ways that we grow passively. One way is we can tend to grow a little bit wider if we're growing passively. Another way that we can grow passively is just by growing older. No matter what we do, we are going to grow older. We can't stop it. We can't slow it down. We're all growing older. You could sit on a couch as long as you wanted, and you're still going to passively grow older. But there are ways that we can actively grow as well. We can actively grow stronger. We can actively grow smarter. We can actively grow faster. There are things in our lives that if we are willing to put in the time, we can actually do it. And these two words that Paul is giving are action words. We toil and we strive. And they carry the connotation that it's not going to be easy. We don't grow in godliness passively. It takes hard work. It takes action. It takes actively pursuing growth and training. So we toil and we strive, and it might be difficult. However, our motivation is unbelievable. Paul finishes verse 10 by saying, "For to this end we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe." We toil and we strive, we train, we work, we're committed, we're devoted, we're disciplined because we have our hope set on the living God. Our motivation is absolutely unparalleled. There is no greater motivation than the ruler of the universe. He is our motivating factor for growing in godliness. When I gave up on the marathon, I was thinking about my motivation and it wasn't strong. It was a ribbon or a medal. It was a 26.2 sticker. That's not what we're motivated for here. That's not who we're motivated by. We're motivated by the hope that we have set on Jesus Christ. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We're motivated by the Alpha and the Omega. We're motivated by the God who came to this earth, lived a perfect life, set an example for us so that we can grow in godliness. That's who we're motivated by. And so we have the opportunity to grow and to train in godliness, and we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is our motivation. So will it be easy? No. It won't be easy. It's going to require work and dedication. But that's what we're called to. It's going to be hard, and yes, it is a very high calling. But he's worth it. So church, godly growth requires truth. Godly growth requires training. We grow in our godliness for the present, but also for the future. And we grow, we toil, and we strive actively, not passively. We don't grow in godliness passively. And yes, it's hard work. However, our motivation is unparalleled. Our motivation for godly growth is the hope of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I would just encourage you, church, as you go, yes, grow in this body, grow as a part of Highland Park Baptist Church, but also grow as an individual, as a son or a daughter of the living God. As we go home, toil and strive for godly growth. because it's of value in every single way, and our motivation is the God of the universe who loves us and saved us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are a good and perfect God. You have set an incredible example of godliness in the life of Christ that we have. Father, I pray that we would be willing to strive. I pray that we would be willing to toil. God, I pray that we would see you as our motivation. God, I pray that when that striving and that training gets difficult, God, that you would be at work in our lives, that you would motivate us, that you would continue to encourage us. Father, I pray that the people in this body would surround us and pull us up, that they would encourage us, that they would push us and spur us on more towards you, Jesus. God, I pray that we would be a people who would be committed, who would be dedicated, who would be devoted, who would be disciplined to growing in godliness. God, we love you, and we are thankful for the opportunity just to know you. So please, by your grace, help us become more like you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.